Welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 115. I'm your host, Emmanuel Vincent, and we are one day away from the Showcase of the Immortals, the biggest spectacle in sports entertainment. Of course, I'm talking about WrestleMania 39, which takes place at SoFi Stadium. It's going to be, I think, a big, big mania, despite the fact that, based on what's transpired from a storyline perspective in the company, doesn't lead me to be that much anticipated for it. I still think it's going to be a big event, and I'm sure some others feel the same way, and I explained that, why I feel that way, in this pod. As yesterday, I did chop it up with the homie Verley, going over the biggest event in the company. We talked about the storylines that are playing out so far, what we think is going to transpire, who's going to win these matches, everything from Cody Rhodes and versus Roman Reigns, and the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. We talk about a lot about it. So this is a pretty good pod, and not bad considering it's my first pod I've recorded in over a month. It's been a lot while. But nonetheless, here it is. So WrestleMania is this weekend, and I just feel like this year's WrestleMania in LA, titled WrestleMania Goes Hollywood, has the buildup has been subpar to say the least. And the perfect example I have is the main event, Rhodes versus Reigns. I just feel like they've done a really lackluster job with building up the anticipation for the match, because they've only faced off since Rhodes won the Royal Rumble, right? And I just feel like they don't have enough history for them to build it up like this, slowly. Do you feel me?
I agree with you with that. I do think Cody's injury did kind of cut into what was supposed to be that storyline between him and Roman. And it's almost like right now, like Paul Heyman has sort of been the proxy for Roman on the mic against Cody. And then even this past week where Cody fought Solo and gave Solo his first loss. So it's like Roman hasn't really been present during this feud. And then another thing too, that's like a huge discrepancy, is like Cody has been wrestling on like Raw and SmackDown like pretty consistently over the last couple months. And like he's been wrestling guys like he wrestled like LA Knight and Ludwig Kaiser, like these like lower.
So this past Monday?
Yeah. Well, I think he wrestled Kaiser on SmackDown or Raw, I forgot. But, you know, he's in the ring with these lower mid-card guys, while Roman does not wrestle. He'll never see him wrestle on Raw. You'll never see him wrestle on SmackDown. He is solely a pay-per-view attraction. So I also think that's kind of curious why they had Cody, like, do all these matches during this time. You know, but Roman is still being kept special.
Well, my only theory on that would be that they're just trying to, help him get his reps up for Mania, since he had that long layoff with the injury, with the torn pec injury. Right. So these are probably built as a stepping stone for the main event of Mania. That's my only thing I can come up with.
I mean, you know, he might be the one who's pushing for this, like, to keep sharp. But I think, you know, it's Mania season. If whatever, he gets injured again, re-aggravates his injury, or gets like a different type of injury, like that could, obviously that would ruin the main event. So I don't have that negative of a view of the buildup. I do think they've been doing a good job, at least drawing on the family history between Roman and Cody. Like,
oh, that I agree with right there.
You know, like, Roman talking about how he had a good, great relationship with Dusty and NXT. And then just the storyline of Cody winning the championship, like in pursuit of the championship that his father never won.
Or his brother.
Or his brother. So, I mean, I think that chase for Cody would be a good storyline. But then on top of that, you have Roman, who's been champion for 900 something days. He hasn't been pinned since 2020. So it's like, there's, for me, there's like that intrigue of what direction they're going to go for the main event.
Like, so you think that based on the incorporation of the family history in this storyline and with the mystique behind Roman Reigns, the fact that he hasn't been pinned since 2020, and been champion for over 900 days, that this is enough, you think, to hype up the main event of Mania?
I mean, I think they're doing the best that they can, given the situation. I think, like, another thing, too, is, like, for the past couple months, they've had to, like, WWE has had to strategically cool down Sami Zayn. So, like, the fans didn't turn on Cody, like, wanting Sami to win, especially, like, during that buildup of Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there was a lot of time devoted over the last month or so, like, with Cody, like, inserting himself, like, in the KO and Sami thing. And I think that also kind of took away from the main storyline between Cody and Roman.
That could be actually, I think you're right about that, because I think you actually write that about that, because it's very rare that you see like two baby faces this hot at the same time, like right. at that level that you have with Sami Zayn and Rose. And I feel like with Zayn, it just happened out of nowhere, like organically. Whereas with Cody Rose, that was their guy that they had like built up
right.
to possibly the throne Roman Reigns. So you are right. I didn't really think about that when I made that statement.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cody's their guy. I could see him as someone who can be the face of WWE, represent WWE as the champion. I think at this point in his career, he needs the WWE championship to sort of solidify him as one of the all-time greats, I think, at this point.
Yeah. Do you know if he was he ever AEW champion?
No.
Or just TNT champion?
So he was only TNT champion. There was a storyline in AEW where, like, he lost to Chris Jericho, and because of that, he was never allowed to compete for the AEW championship.
Mm.
So he's never, from my understanding, he's never won a world title unless you want to count, like, Ring of Honor or NWA.
Okay. And you're saying that he has to do this to cement his legacy, which I can't necessarily agree with. But my thing is just like with this storyline, with the way it's been playing out so far, because usually when Mania happens, I have a good idea in the weeks like leading up to Mania. I have a good idea of what's going to happen in the main event, and I'm usually more right than I am wrong. But right now, because like it's just been like no real interaction between the both of them, I'm like, I don't really know like what's going to happen, even though I think that Cody Rhodes is going to win and be champion. I think that if anybody's going to do it, it should be him. But I don't really feel too confident because they don't really interact. They haven't been interacting that much.
Yeah. I mean, I can see your point. And also, I don't even think they've like put hands on each other at this point, too.
See, that's my thing. I thought that would happen unless a couple of times, like, you know, sometimes Cody gets jumped by the Bloodline after a match and something like that. Or I thought they were going to do it before Mania. I tweeted this. They should have had a match of a six-man match with Cody, Zayn, and Owens versus the Usos and Roman.
Yeah.
They should have had that match prior to Mania.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Roman doesn't wrestle on free TV anymore.
But he did before. Like he did. I remember he did when they were because when it looked like they thought that AEW was possibly going to be a threat to them. Mm. When I remember, like they had Roman wrestle before on Raw, I think it was a 6-man match with the New Day and the Bloodline, and I think they fought like the first match of the night on Raw, if I remember correctly.
I see. Yeah.
So I mean, he could have like fought once.
Yeah, I mean they have Friday night the SmackDown before Mania.
What's the supposed to come face to face?
They're supposed to come face to face.
Yeah,
I mean
that is scheduled. So maybe we'll see something there. I don't know. But then, but also too, another reason why I felt that this has been like a lackluster build up for Mania, and I possibly think that the reason why, here's my theory again. I don't know. I have not got any confirmation on this, but I feel like with Vince being back, he's somehow back involved with the storyline, and there's possible conflict with him and Triple H. And a prime example of that, Brock versus Omos. That has Vince written all over it. Who watched that match? I don't want to see that. I can kill. I think I'll go to the bathroom, probably order some food.
It'll be like a 2-minute match. Like, yeah. Not even time.
5 to 6 minutes max.
Yeah, I mean, the booking of this match does seem like it has Vince's fingerprints all over it. Like, we know he loves giants, he loves big men slapping meat. And I think for like the kind of freak show quality of it, it could end up being at least a fun match.
Yeah.
Because there's still that question of like, okay, can Brock take Omos to Suplex City?
Or can he deliver the F5?
F5. F5. Exactly.
That thing's going to happen and he'll win off the F5. And the crowd will go crazy. So I think that they're like anticipating that will have the crowd hyped, him like lifting him up. Kind of like, I want to put it on the level of Hogan, Sam, and Andre, but probably can have somewhat of that same aura. If he pulls it off.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a huge pop. It's going to be a huge reaction from the crowd, mm-hmm. which is maybe that's all WWE wants to get out of this matchup. It's just, I just don't buy Omos in any aspect.
Like, in terms of like in-ring work on the mic?
Yeah, his in-ring work. He has a good look. He's very, he has a unique look, but also his gear sucks. I think like it's been a downgrade for MVP to be Omos's manager instead of him being with Lashley. Like the whole thing doesn't really work for me. And then on top of that, he hadn't been on TV for like a couple months before the Brock Lesnar like buildup happened. So it just, everything just kind of seems like slapped together with this match.
Yeah, there's no real developed storyline between the two. It's just like put together, just like it's just like a filler for the night.
Exactly, something to just fill out the card.
Yeah, and then another thing too was like, with I think will probably be one of the better matches of the night, Asuka versus Bianca Belair. Mm-hmm. I think that has been poorly built up as well. Like, it's just like that moment where like when she came into the ring after Bianca's match and tried to handle the belt and was playing keep away with the belt for a little bit, like that just seems so like so childish and like,
yeah, it's definitely childish.
Old gimmick. Like, come on, like this is Vince. That's Vince McMahon. I know Vince's work, and that is his. And I thought that they were supposed to fight this on Monday night with them. I forgot, with Carmella and the other girl that's been getting involved. I forget her name.
Against Chelsea Austin Green.
Yeah, against her and Bianca. Asuka and Bianca this past Monday. But I don't think that match took place. And that was scheduled like a week before.
I don't know. But
so it's just like, it's crazy like that. Like, I think that match, might be the best match of the night, honestly. From a stylistic point of view, I think it has a great chance to be the best match of the night. And again, it's been poorly booked thus far.
No, it's been terribly booked. like, it's hard enough to book like any face versus face matches, but mm-hmm. when the faces like refuse to like do anything towards each other, like it just feud. It's cool that Asuka changed up her look and she went back to like her Japanese kind of demon thing that she was doing, but her character really hasn't changed that much. And I'm sorry to say this.
Let's hear it.
I'm tired of Bianca's title, right? I'm tired of it.
I'm not mad at you because I feel like it's kind of like tailed off in the last like 3-4 months. It was better when it started. Last 3 or 4 months, it kind of like, it hasn't really felt significant to my face. So I'm thinking that there's no way she's going to have the belt past Mania. But again, with this poor booking so far, I'm like, I'm not really confident that that's going to happen. Like, to like be 100%. Like, if I was a betting man, I don't know if I'll put money on Asuka to win this match. Because the way it's been booked so far, I don't really have a grasp or feel of what's going to happen at Mania, which I'm usually able to do that in the prior Manias that took place, but not this one.
The thing is, like, I don't see what WWE would gain by putting the belt on Asuka mm-hmm. in this stage of Asuka's career. Like, she's, like, not in, like, the top 5, I think, for female performers right now.
Talking about just like a face of the company or just an in-ring? Or everything included, you mean?
Like, the entire package, like, everything included. I just think, like, right now, like, there's fresher blood to give the title to. Mm. And I don't know, like, I just think, like, Bianca has been kind of, like, doing the same thing over and over again. She really hasn't shown, like, any kind of edge to her. She's, like, very, like, happy demeanor. The Alexa Bliss thing that they were doing was, like, awful.
Terrible.
Through no fault of her own. But I just think, like, the title reign, she hasn't really had any memorable moments. And maybe this match at Mania with Asuka will be. But like you said, the buildup has just been, it's been trash.
Like, yeah, the only memorable moment, I'll probably say with her and Becky Lynch at SummerSlam, but I know Becky got hurt early on in the match with the shoulder injury.
But I thought
the buildup was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the whole thing with Bayley at the pay-per-view, and I believe that was in Saudi Arabia. That was kind of weak. With damage control. So you're right. So I'm not quite sure that she's going to lose this title. You made a good point about Asuka, like, wild gift to Asuka now when they have a lot of other young, fresh talent that they can possibly put the belt on to hold the throne down. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think the match will be amazing. Just sucks that the booking's been just trash.
Yeah. Because that also does affect, like, the outcome of the match when there isn't heat to the feud.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, I think it's going to be a great match.
Well, actually, let me ask you a question. You talked about her demeanor, Bianca's demeanor. Like, it's kind of been the same. There's no edge. You watched her in NXT, right? Wasn't she a heel in NXT?
Yeah, she was a heel.
How was she as a heel? Because I really can't picture her being a heel. I just can't.
I mean, she kind of had, like, a Mean Girls thing going on. She wasn't like threatening or like not really believable as a bad person. I just think like for her, like, I think she in real life, she's probably just a really sweet person and that really shows through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me make an example. So if you look at Becky Lynch, right? Like,
okay.
Becky is she's a heel, but she has an edge to her. Like, she doesn't mind getting a little dirty. She doesn't care, like, fighting 3-on-1 with, like, damage control. Like, she just has more, and like, she's just way more confident on the mic. Like, And I think Bianca needs more of that kind of multi-dimension character, because right now it's like she just like comes off as like just being happy all the time and cheery, which is cool, but also how many years she's been on the roster? Like 3?
I think it's the 3rd year on the main roster, I believe.
And you know, she really hasn't gone through a lot of character development.
That's fair enough. I mean Becky's like one of a kind though, which is why I'm sure the higher up saw that in her and try to like build her up as like the female version of Stone Cold. You know, the bad guy that everybody loves.
Yeah, anti-hero.
Exactly. So yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, so I wanted to see. I thought that Oscar would probably turn. I thought Oscar would have turned heel by now, but she hasn't. So maybe Bianca will turn heel after Mania. Maybe she.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like in the Royal Rumble, like that. Like when Asuka spat the mist in Liv Morgan's face.
Yeah.
It kind of seemed like that was going to lead to a heel Asuka versus Liv Morgan program. That never happened. Mm-hmm. So, and Asuka has sort of been like, not necessarily heel, but like she's added more like vicious moves to her moveset.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like foreshadowing for a heel turn at some point.
Mm. Yeah, true. I thought that it was that they were gonna have Rhea Ripley face off with Bianca at Mania, because the history they had, they both in the same class, I believe, right? And they had that incredible Mania match. They had the incredible Royal Rumble when the last two people standing, and Bianca went on to win and then win at Mania. So I thought with all that, and then they would have it like multiple backstage interactions on camera. So I'm like, yeah, okay, Ripper's gonna win this, and then gonna fight Bianca. So I thought that would have been perfect, and you could easily build off from what's happened in the past between them two at Mania.
Yeah, I think they opted to go with Charlotte because there also is an existing storyline there.
Touche.
There is. Yeah, and like Rhea did kind of, she did mention in a promo, I think last week, like she was like, yeah, I thought about challenging Bianca, but like talking to Charlotte, she's like, you and I have this history. So I think they will meet again at some point. But I don't know. I think the matchups as far as like Asuka and Bianca and Charlotte and Rhea, I think that's pretty good, pretty solid.
Oh, they're going to be two amazing matches. I'm going to bet my money that those would be two of the top 3 to 4 matches on the card. When the night's all said and done, I think when we look back at it, they'll probably be two of the top 3 or 4 matches.
Okay, I can see that.
Hey, but let's take a quick break. I don't want to come back and talk to you more about Charlotte and Rhea.
All right, cool.
Okay, so we got Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. We talked about that a little bit early. I think that the build-up has been pretty good for this one. Not great, but good enough. And again, we talked about it earlier, how they have that history. Charlotte did lose to Rhea at Mania. I think it was 36. She lost the NXT title. Is that right?
No, but Rhea lost to Charlotte, I think.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, Rhea lost to Charlotte for the NXT title at Mania. You got like this, arguably one of the 4 horsewomen. A lot of people and a lot of people's eyes, the GOAT in the division, and gets an up and coming, hungry Rhea Ripley, who just has like a bad side to her. I think it's gonna be good. Television between these two.
Yeah, I mean, I think like Rhea Ripley has had sort of a career renaissance the past year in Judgment Day. I think it's taken her to another level. And the fans are really into her. Like, she just has a lot of momentum right now. And And then her performance at the Rumble was incredible, you know?
Like, oh, that, great. Oh, amazing, yo.
Like, that was star-making.
I think I might put that as possibly the best female Mania so far. I mean, female Rumble so far. That hasn't been met a lot, so. But I think it's up there.
Yeah, I mean, it was better than the Men's Rumble this year, I would say.
Oh, easily.
You know, I enjoyed it more. So, yeah, so Rhea is, like, she is up and coming. And then Charlotte, who I think this past year, like, recently returned. And she's as great as she ever was right now. And, you know, she's looking to further cement her family's legacy at WrestleMania. So it was, like, a very intriguing matchup. Did you see, like, the brawl that they had on SmackDown, I think, last week?
I saw it a little. That was good. I liked that.
It was really good, yeah.
You felt the animosity between the two, which makes for great TV and makes for a great build-up to a potential classic Mania confrontation.
Right, right. You know, and I think stylistically, they complement each other really well.
Yeah, because, like, Charlotte, I would say, is a little bit more technical. Mm. Rhea's more of a powerhouse. So
yeah, like a bruiser.
A great blend. So you talked about Rhea, right? That she did a good job, like, you know, like, upping her stock over the past year with the Judgment Day. So I was kind of wary of that early on when she started, because she wasn't wrestling. She wasn't wrestling for a while.
I don't know why.
Maybe she was dealing with an injury. Because I remember that one point she was the face. I forgot what pay-per-view it was, but she had won a match to face Bianca, and then she got scratched from the match. I can't remember which one it was, so I was like, what's going on with her? Like, it's an injury. I felt like her first match, like, on pay-per-view since being in Judgment Day was at Survivor Series in War Games. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right, because so she had gotten concussed during the match. Like, her knee, like, hit into, like, her forehead.
Yeah.
So she was out for a while. And also, I think when she first went there, I think they were deliberately keeping her away from the women's division to sort of make her, like, be more special. Like, I would liken it to China. You know, like, China.
With the Enforcer DX.
The Enforcer DX. Like, she never really interacted with the women. You know,
this is true.
So I think they're trying to build Rhea in that way to make her special. And I do think that worked.
Yeah.
And I mean, Judgment Day was, it took a while for it to really start taking off. I think so. Yeah. Because remember, initially it was like, Edge was the leader with, like, Priest and Rhea Ripley. And then they kicked Edge out of the group with, like, Finn coming in. And at that time, like, they were still kind of, like, finding their feet. Mm-hmm. And then when Dominic came in, I think that's when the Judgment Day really started, like, coming into their own.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I definitely have been a fan of Rhea. It's the first time I saw her wrestle. I love her in-work ability. I think she will win at Mania. It kind of feels like they need to, like, you know, start building up some of these other women on the roster. I mean, Charlotte's been a champion what, 13 times already, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, she's not crazy like that. She's done enough. So I think it's Rhea's time. So I'm pretty sure that. I'm pretty confident that she will walk out victorious as the new Raw, SmackDown's Women's Champion.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't be surprised if they had a feud with possibly title for title, a unified match with maybe her and Bianca.
I mean, I would like to see that.
At SummerSlam, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I mean, I think both belts on men's and women's should be consolidated at some point. So.
Did you really think that? That's funny. So, I was talking to my man the other day because I think I sent you the screenshot too of the report saying that Triple H is looking to make a new design of the Universal title.
Yeah.
I think, and he was like, my man was like, that's corny. You're like, they gotta just have like a belt for each roster, for each show, for SmackDown and Raw. It's going to be one champion. I'm like, I don't know. Like, maybe I agree with that. Maybe I don't. I don't know. So why do you think that it should be a fighter?
I mean, I think at this point, the brand split is like not a real thing anymore. We're like,
true.
You have wrestlers consistently fighting on both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, even for like the past year, like Roman has been able to, he goes to Raw, he goes to SmackDown. Like, there really isn't like a delineation like that. Also, just like the aesthetic of two belts, I think, like, I don't necessarily like in wrestling. Like, if it's one championship technically, but then it's two belts. Like, I think either they should consolidate it into one
belt. Oh, I got it. I see you saying now. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? No, I get it.
Like, they should consolidate it into one belt or just split it. But I think, like, the double, like, champion thing, I don't know. I think they should go back to just having one title.
Yeah, and like I said, like the brand, like being on SmackDown and being on Raw doesn't hold the same weight it did about 5-7 years ago. And we see that. I mean, we see what they did with Survivor Series this year when they didn't do the brand versus brand elimination traditional matches. They just scrapped the script, scraped that, and did the War Games thing. So, yeah, I mean, and then you have multiple wrestlers, like you're saying, like Cody Rhodes is making a cutting a promo on Raw, next cutting a promo on SmackDown.
Yeah.
He's fighting on Raw, he's fighting on SmackDown. So, I mean, what is it? This brand doesn't really, and it seems like it's a little outdated in a sense.
Yeah, it seems like it's just being phased out right now. So, like, what's the point in having two belts at this point?
Bad. We can talk. We didn't talk about that. The Hell in a Cell match schedule. Baylor and Edge. This can be crazy. We all know the storyline with the Bloodline. With Judgment Day. We just touched on it a little bit earlier. Edge was, you know, the founder of the group. Got kicked out once Baylor came in. It's been feuding with them all along. The whole damn, like, this has been what, a year now? A year long feud?
Close
it's
to
been
it.
A year, right?
Yeah, close it feels to like it.
Yeah, and he got his wife involved, Beth Phoenix, in this, and it's crazy. So, and I heard something. I don't know if I should tell you this or not. Because didn't he say that he wants Finn Balor to bring up the demon?
Yep, he said to bring the demon with him.
So I saw a report. I don't know. Do you want to tell this report that I seen? I don't want to spoil anything.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, cool. So I saw a report that Edge possibly will bring out Gangrel for the
brood entrance. No, I don't believe that.
Yo, that would be crazy. Yo, I swear, I think the Brood has one of the illest entrances in wrestling history. No one could convince me otherwise. That entrance was fire back then.
Yeah.
And the beat was fire, too.
The beat was fire. The entrance coming out from the ground, the fire.
Hell yeah. That was a crazy moment in the Attitude Era. So what's your thoughts on this match, on this feud?
I mean, it's been a good feud building up. I think that the Hell in a Cell aspect of it at WrestleMania, I'm thinking about like where this match is going to be placed in the card and will it like drag at any point? Because, you know, with a Hell in a Cell match, it's going to be like maybe 20 to 25 minutes, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering like how it's going to be structured within the card, where, because my thing is like WrestleMania is already a huge show. So like to add Hell in a Cell to it kind of feels like bloated.
Do you know the last Hell in a Cell match at Mania?
No.
The only one I could think of was, and obviously it's the worst Hell in a Cell ever,
Undertaker versus Big Boss Man?
Yep. That's the only one I can think of. And that was like, what, 9 minutes of straight garbage.
Yeah. No, that was one of the worst Hell in a Cell matches of all time.
I'm safe to say, I've never seen every Hell in a Cell match, but I'm pretty sure that has to be the worst one.
No, some of the Hell in a Cell matches are really terrible. Like, Fiend versus Seth Rollins, I think, might be the all-time worst.
How long ago did that take place?
I think it was like 2019, a couple years ago. But that was at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, the feud deserves it to be finished in the cell. You know, like the blow-off match in the cell, WrestleMania. Like,
I think no one can interfere. It's just them two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Exactly. And I think adding the demon to it adds another cool component to the match. And we haven't seen the demon in like a really long time. I think it was like, remember when Balor had that match with Roman? And he like fell off the top rope because the rope broke or something.
I think so. With this Roman, like with this persona since the Bloodline
incident? Yes. Yes. Okay, this was part of the title reign.
Okay.
So I think that was the last time we saw the demon. So I just wonder how like extreme it's gonna be, like what kind of spots they're gonna do. Like, I think knowing someone like Edge, like who really puts a lot of thought into like his work and his craft, like I think they can really do some amazing things in there.
Yeah, in fact, I think it's gonna go out with a bang. I think it's gonna be one of the better matches on the card. Both nights 1 and 2. I think I heard too that Edge wants to retire this year in Canada. I believe it's Toronto, when they come to Toronto later on the year, he wants to retire then. So this is like Edge's farewell tour in a sense. So I'm pretty sure that he's going to go all out in his last Mania.
Yeah.
Potentially in his last Mania. I think that you can't have it end with him losing Edge, that he has to be victorious. You know, just because the whole faction turning his back on him after he started it and he was trying to elevate their careers. And he's been on this, on this hunt ever since. So I think it's only right that he ends with the victory at Mania. That's just me.
Yeah. No, I think that would be a really good closing to the story. But I also think, Judgment Day has so much, momentum right now. Mm-hmm. And if Finn is going to be there in WWE for the long run, like, having him win is, like, investing in him. Versus Edge, who, this may be his last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can kind of see it go either way, but I think Finn Balor needs a signature win.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really have that on his resume right now.
Mm.
So, I don't know, I can see it going either way.
Yeah, that's true. So, since we're on the topic of matches involving members of the Bloodline, we should might as well talk about Dominic and Rey Mysterio, which was confirmed, last week? See, another thing about this Mania buildup. Why are matches getting, confirmed so late?
I don't know.
It's a Mania season. And Hall of Fame inductors are getting announced so late. Stacey Kubi just got announced on Monday? And they take up on Friday, what the hell is going on?
And I don't even think they're done. I don't think they're done announcing.
What's going on with creative? I swear there's a conflict going on, a clash of the minds in creative right now.
I mean, I agree with you. It's like they're taking a long time to confirm things for Mania, whereas in the past, a lot of times the card was set a month out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like they're in a weird delay.
Not normal at all. And I don't think that Triple H was still had solid control of creative that this wouldn't happen. But here we are. I know Vince is back with the company. I have a feeling he's involved with the storylines, whether or not Hunter has final say. I know Vince is involved. I can just feel it. But this match right here with Dominik and Rey, I felt like this was like in the makings all along. I knew Dominik was going to join Judgment Day, and I knew eventually he was going to fight Rey, and I knew it was going to happen at Mania. I was just thinking to myself, why does it take us so long for this to be announced? And then last Friday, after Dominik disrespected his mom, Rey comes and finally hits him into the crowd's pleasure.
Amazing pop, right?
Finally gave his son one, a mean hook, took him down, let him know like he essentially he'll meet him at Mania. I think that this is kind of dope. I think, Joe, if you don't know, Ray's gonna go to the Hall of Fame. Get inducted the night before into the Hall of Fame, and to be able to have a match with his son the night after.
Yeah, I'm sure it's amazing for him.
It's amazing. I'm sure it's a great honor for Ray. And his son too as well, that this is going to take place. But see, this is my thing too. Well, Ray, this is my thing about Ray though getting inducted, because I never knew of anybody at first. I never knew of any wrestler, active wrestler on the roster, being inducted to the Hall. Then I heard that there was like, I think they had Goldberg and somebody else was technically active on the roster.
Yeah,
and got inducted
in the most loosest sense of the word.
Yeah, but Goldberg wasn't really active. He's not like Rey Mysterio fighting every week, putting on a, like, you know what I'm saying, like. Doing all, putting his body on the line. Like, Goldberg was having like 5-minute matches. Like, get out of here with that. But whatever. So I'm like, okay. So Ray's getting inducted. So my thing is like, it's going to be weird, like having this moment. His son should be a part of it, right? And his son should be like getting, the camera put on him at least once during the speech. Probably be up there with him. So why that? I feel like that's going to be a conflict of interest and breaking kayfabe. Even though kayfabe is kind of like dead right now, but still, I think you still want to uphold it to some degree. And this is just kind of like going against that to me.
It'll be interesting to see how they handle that moment, because it could be used to shoot an angle to like further the WrestleMania match. But then again, I think like if Dom like fucked up Ray's Hall of Fame speech, like I think that would just be like, That kind of damage, I don't think would be worth the angle.
Yeah.
You know, because Hall of Fame speeches, people remember them for years and years. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to, so I don't think they're going to, like, Dom and Ray are going to be hugging and crying and stuff like that. Like, I don't think, like, kayfabe will be broken to that degree.
Oh, yeah. That's not, you can't do that. So maybe after the speech backstage, there's a confrontation. Maybe he attacks him from behind, and maybe he like beats him with the Hall of Fame trophy. I don't know, something like that can happen.
Hit him with the ring. Yeah,
yeah. So interesting, but I think that stylistically it'll be a good match.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see them go one-on-one, like. You know, they were tag team champions at one point. Dom has gotten better in the ring.
He has. I agree. I thought you were going to say for a second he got better on the mic. I'm like, it's not going that far.
No, he's more confident, I would say. Before, like, when he was a babyface, he, like, seemed like he was very, like,
a little timid.
A little timid, a little wilting under the bright lights. Now that he has this attitude of Judgment Day, you can kind of tell, like, he's more relaxed in the role. But my thing is, like, I think, like, Dom is doing great with this angle. But after the shoot is over, my question is, like, how is he going to be in an angle where it's not his dad? You know? Like,
yeah,
you know, like right now there's a lot of emotional stock going into this match, and Dom is able to play off his childhood and, like, you know, the fact that Ray was not there when he was growing up, and you know, he got him a BMW when all his other friends were getting like Mercedes or something. You know,
spoiled brat.
Yeah, basically a spoiled brat. Like, Dom is really good at playing that kind of like spoiled kid, rich kid gets whatever he wants. But I do wonder, like, beyond this feud, what's it gonna be like when Dom is kind of away, when Dom is away from the Mysterio thing, I think that'll be the test, really, for his career.
Yeah, you make a great point there, because they has so much to, he has his father as a crutch right now, and they can just build off like what's transpired in life, or maybe they can embellish things a little bit or whatever. But what's it gonna be like once that diffuses and Mania is done? Who else could he like have like a? Who else could you potentially build a storyline with Dom? So that's gonna be interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, it's never going to be as hot as I think the feud he has with his dad right now, but.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
it's your dad. I mean, if anyone was feuding with their dad, you know, it's going to be good because you know each other so well. Like,
mm-hmm. Facts. Oh, we didn't talk about, we should talk about this earlier. We talked about Sami Zayn and him being one of the hottest faces in the company right now. Sami Zayn and, Owens against the Usos. And I remember once Elimination Chamber was over, I tweeted, Zayn and Owens are going to defeat the Usos at Mania for the titles. Book it. And when the match is over and I'm right, I am going to retweet that and say, hey, what do I know? I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I see you coming a mile away. Now, and we talked about the fact that he caught fire like out of nowhere. I'm sure the company had no idea that Sami Zayn would be this hot, but here he is, and they already had Rose in mind to go ahead and get his moment, WrestleMania moment, right. Potentially. Right. So, all right, so caught a little consolation prize, a tag team title match, along with one of your best friends in the world. What do you think about this match and the storyline so far?
I mean, I think it's just been brilliantly done. Everything relating to the bloodline.
Amen.
Has been like, you know, I've been watching wrestling. I remember fucking WrestleMania 9. Like, This has been one of the most compelling storylines that WWE has done.
Could you argue that this is the best storyline of involving a faction in wrestling history? I would probably say, yeah. Because NWO was trash. Trash storyline.
What was
great concept? Great concept, though, and The impact on the wrestling industry is you just can't even like put it into words. But the storyline was trash. It was executed poorly. DX was good, but it wasn't like this, though.
No,
just from a storyline standpoint.
No, I think this is like this storyline has had like a lot of nuance in it. Mm-hmm. So many great like players in it, like. Jey Uso, Paul Heyman, Sammy, Solo. It's like everyone is like playing their part like so well.
Yes.
And then with the weaving in with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and their history going back to the Indies and the times in their careers where they've turned on each other. So it was like KO trying to rebuilding trust of Sammy after all these like betrayals and like so for them to reconcile, like finally get on the same page to take the bloodline down, and there's also like the element of the Usos being on a historic run themselves with their tag team titles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's going to be an awesome match. Really, really awesome match. Usos, one of the best tag teams, I think, in the past decade, for sure.
Oh, facts. Can't deny that.
You know? And then at WrestleMania, it's just going to be like on another level, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that they've, like Roman, the title reign has been a little long, and you don't want to have it run too long. And I just felt like with the momentum that Zayn has, and Owen still gets the pops and everything, that I think that is destined for them to be victorious and walk out as champions.
I agree. just for that WrestleMania moment.
Like, fact.
You know, and if they end up dropping the titles to the Usos later on, then that's mm-hmm. fine, but they just need that Mania moment of them celebrating.
Facts. Crowd would go crazy if that happens. If that plays out, they actually win. Oh, the pop is going to be insane.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think they will win. Like, with Cody and Roman, I'm not sure necessarily what direction they're going to go in. Yes. But I'm certain that Sammy and KO are going to win the titles. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, facts. After all of the storyline, that has to be the end to it.
Facts. Oh, yeah, you were there at Raw in Boston, March 6th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so what was your thoughts when Jay super kicked Sammy?
All right, so I had left before that happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I didn't see that happen until I was home. I saw that shit. Man, I can't. The Raw, it was super long, man. It's a long friggin' show.
It is a long show. I'm not gonna lie.
Because my friend and I, we came at the beginning, so we watched the main event tapings.
Mm-hmm.
Which I will never do again, because I realize it's that extra hour makes a huge difference.
Hold on. You said main event tapings. What do you mean by that?
So before Raw, they tape main event. You know that TV show?
Oh, you're talking about I think Thing fought before Raw started. Carmelo Hayes.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Yeah. Yes. So I was there when he fought. He's the only match I saw.
Yeah. So.
So you're saying there was an hour of that before Raw?
Yep.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
That's
too much.
So you were there. So what was that atmosphere like?
Oh, it was crazy. Listen, I seen it because, my angle while I was sitting at, because I was, I was on the TV side. So I couldn't see my eyes visually, Sammy and Jay, when Jay hugged him and everything. I had to look up at the monitor, at the screen, whatever. I was like, yeah, he's gonna turn on him. He's gonna super kick him. I knew it, and he did it. And it was just I see everybody's reaction. This is great storytelling, yo. Basically confirmation of on loyalty, and then all of a sudden, for a second, betrayal right there.
Yeah.
This is Oscar worthy storytelling.
I mean, yeah, because there's so many layers to it. It's the loyalty that Jay had to Sammy, but then it's also the bigger loyalty of family. And yes. Blood, you know, which for the bloodline, that's the ultimate connection. It's family.
Mm-hmm.
So the storyline has been so great, and I hope it continues after Mania.
Really? I wonder what direction, because I mean, I still think that Cody Rhodes is going to win at Mania. I'm not jumping off that bandwagon yet, and I do think that the Usos will lose their titles as well. So I just wonder where does the bloodline go from here if in fact both things happen? Where do they go from here? A report that I saw, which I thought anyways was going to happen because I thought Rhodes was going to win, that Roman's going to have an extended break after Mania.
Right.
And I mean that makes sense to me. Then he's been literally carrying the men's division on his back for the past 2 years.
No, he deserves a break.
Yeah, he does. Even though he's part time, he is box office main attraction. Without him, can you imagine what WWE would be right now? Without his character and just in this role being the tribal chief, where would the company be right now?
I mean, I think they would be struggling like AEW is right now. You know,
yeah, exactly.
But also Backlash is next month. Backlash.
Yep.
It's going to be next month in Puerto Rico.
With Bad Bunny hosting, I see.
With Bad Bunny hosting. So they could do rematches, maybe Cody and Roman, and then Usos and Sammy and KO at Backlash.
So is Backlash usually rematches, or at least one?
Yes. That's kind of the idea of it. It's
it used to be called WrestleMania Backlash. They just dropped the main WrestleMania portion. And it's called a Backlash. And I remember last year, Charlotte did fight Ronda again, and Ronda won.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's like, it's a pay-per-view usually for rematches or like feuds, but then adding like a stipulation to a match or something. So, you know, I think whether or not, you know, if Roman loses, I do think he'll get a title shot.
Yeah. You know,
at Backlash.
Okay. So yeah, I'll definitely have to keep an eye on that. So we didn't. So there's a couple of matches we didn't really go over. Seth and Logan Paul. I think that could be a great match.
I'm really looking forward to that match. I think both their styles are very complementary to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Logan Paul, it's like he is, he's a natural with everything. It's like his comfort in the ring, like on the mic, his like, it's like he kind of already belongs there. He kind of gives us air, like, you know, as a WWE superstar. So for me, it like him versus Seth doesn't have the same feeling as like a typical celebrity versus like superstar matchup would.
Like, I agree. I mean, it seems like he's been like, he's destined for to be a wrestler.
Absolutely.
To be a main eventer, to be a superstar in this industry.
Absolutely.
And I've seen a report that his contract expires at the Mania, so I wonder what they're going to do with that. I'm sure, I would think that they're going to re-up on him. But will it be to the money that he wants or something comparable? Or like somewhere like comparable? So we'll see. But that's going to be a good match. What other matches did we not touch on? Oh, John Cena and Austin Theory. I'm not really too hyped about that match at all. I know Theory idolized him growing up, so it's going to be good for him to get that moment against Idol. And it's going to be the first match of night one.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yes, I saw it. I think like last week they said that's going to be the opening match for night one.
I mean, I'm curious to see like what Cena's like in ring work is going to be like at this stage of his career.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, that night in Boston, I felt like Cena just destroyed Theory.
Oh, he did.
Like,
no doubt about it.
Dismantled him. Like, my jaw was on the floor during that promo. Like, yo, like, whose man's is this? Like, I was like, he like killed Theory on the mic. And it was funny because I think, so this past Monday on Raw, Theory cut a promo. And he was just like in the middle of the ring, like in an empty arena.
Yeah, definitely gave you like COVID vibes of like, oh, we can't go back to this. Thunderdome. Yeah, definitely gave you those type of vibes.
But I was thinking it's because they don't want him to like cut a promo in front of a live crowd. Like,
so you think that? So your thoughts are that he's not good at cutting promos? I'm guessing you think that.
So I think that he has the room to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it took Roman years to like be able to hone in and like perfect himself on the mic, I think Theory in time will get there. But right now, he just doesn't really seem like believable.
Yeah.
And that was something that Cena was like pointing out, really. Mm-hmm. I was like, we don't believe you. So I don't know. It's an interesting match because it does seem like Theory, his whole thing is like kind of the way Cena was, like in 03 and 04, like this like young cocky guy. So it does kind of seem like a full circle thing. But okay, it's just like John Cena does not need the US championship. And it'll
exactly.
Be
exactly so yeah, I was gonna mention that. This is for the US championship match, if I'm correct. And now you just confirmed that.
Yeah.
So what benefit would it would the company, what benefit would that do the company of Cena being U.S. champion? First of all, like when we think of Cena, we only think of him being a heavyweight champion, nothing less. And he's part-time, so why would you have a part-time? He's not going to fight week in, week out on Raw and do house shows and everything. So what's the benefit of putting that belt on him? So
that's why I'm thinking that Theory is going to win. But then I'm also like, that's too big of a win to give Theory because he has not proven that he's on anywhere near that level at this
point. Yeah. To be a guy like John Cena.
Huh?
To be a guy like John Cena.
Yeah, exactly.
To pin John Cena. It's considered the GOAT.
So, I don't know what they're going to do. It would be dumb for Cena to win the U.S. title at the same time Theory does not does not deserve to get a win over Cena. So it just kind of seems like a and also with this that this card that's so stacked, it just kind of seems like a weird like shoving in into Mania. Like, I'm intrigued to see how the match goes, but I think the booking decision had the match without the title on the line.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's Mania, the biggest stage. There has to be like some level of like something at stake there.
Right.
So to have a champion fight for on that Mania with no title on the line, it kind of seems like makes it seem insignificant, the match. So maybe that's why they put that on the line. I mean, you could have Cena win the belt, not fight to get it to possibly SummerSlam and lose it to SummerSlam to Theory again or somebody else.
Or like, I don't know, maybe he just like gives it away the next night on Raw. Like, he doesn't want it. And then there's like a battle royale for the US championship.
That is true. I want to see how it plays out. All right, so, I mean, I don't think any of the matches really intrigue me that much. Any of them intrigue you? Any of the remaining matches in the card?
I'm trying to think what we haven't covered yet. There's like a couple of like showcase matches. Oh, okay. So I am interested in the triple threat match for the IC title.
Wait, I thought it was a fatal four-way match on my bugging.
So it's a triple threat. It's Gunther versus Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I don't really watch SmackDown like that to be in the storyline, so I don't really have that much like interest in that match per se. But it probably will be a good match. I'm gonna watch it, and I think it will be a good match.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be highly physical. Like, if you haven't seen Gunther versus Sheamus from Clash at the Castle, like, I would definitely recommend that match.
I definitely watched the pay-per-view, but I'll probably have to rewatch that match before.
Like, Gunther's pretty good, and he's another guy who has had a pretty lengthy title reign, and I think has brought some prestige.
Almost went the distance at Mania. Almost did it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So his stock is very, very high right now.
Yep. He had a great performance at the Rumble, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That match. Oh, yeah. What about the sixth women's match? Damage Control versus Bayley. I mean, versus Becky and Lita and Trish.
I think it's cool that Lita and Trish are back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also trying to figure out like what's really going on in the storyline and why are Lita and Becky tag team champions, but they're not going to... It's like, given to your point about the U.S. title, it's like, why aren't they going to defend the titles at Mania?
Yeah, because like when they won the title, I said to myself, this is kind of weird. Like, why have the title on Becky and Lita? Becky, again, I think Becky, I think of she either in the championship picture or she's not in any title picture. So you put the belt on her, and then you put the belt on Lita, who's clearly not going to, is clearly like past her prime, is not going to be wrestling every other week on TV. So I thought to myself, and I tweeted this too, I said, the only logical route that they should go is have Becky, Trish and Lita versus Damage Control and Mania. And here we are. So, okay, that makes sense. But again, like we talked about it, like there's no, the title's not going to be on the line. So what's really the point here?
Yeah, I don't know the point of why they are tag team champions. It doesn't really affect the storyline at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I wasn't like huge fans of Damage Control being champions either. But, I don't know. I just think like it'll be a cool nostalgic moment, but I'm not super excited about this particular match.
Yeah. I'm not thrilled about it. It's not must see to me, but I'm gonna watch it. It'll probably exceed my expectations. Good chance. So I'll definitely check it out. I'm not going to skip out on the match or anything like that.
Right.
Not any other matches that I'm really interested in. What's the match involving? Is it a six? Is it a four-way tag team match for the in the women's division? Or am I wrong about that?
Yeah, there's like, so WWE has two matches that they're calling showcase matches, whatever that means. And they're both like fatal four-way tag team matches, like one's for men and one for women.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Yeah. I haven't really been paying attention to that, what's been transpiring, centered around those matches, so I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I'll watch it, but I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, there's not really a storyline to any of these matches. They're just.
And now I think that whoever wins those matches are going to get a title opportunity.
Okay, I mean if that's the case, then that makes sense.
I think. Don't quote me. But I could have sworn I heard that. But I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's true because otherwise, like, why even have the matches?
So let me ask you a question. Are you still a fan of having Mania on both nights, night one, night two?
Yeah, I think it kind of makes WrestleMania seem a lot more special. Having like the WrestleMania weekend now is cool. I also think like by splitting it into two nights, there is more opportunities for different matches to make it on the card that maybe wouldn't in like a Manias of the past.
Yeah.
This
is true.
So I do think like adding the two nights was a good change. It kind of adds more specialness, and it also gives an opportunity for there to be essentially like two main events where you have like a night one and a night two.
Yep.
So yeah, I think it was a really good move by WWE.
Yeah, I mean, because my thing was just like, it was getting ridiculous at one point. Like, before this night one, night two move, Mania was going to like midnight. I'm like, dog, I got work tomorrow morning. This is crazy. That's crazy. It's like 5-6 hours of wrestling. And I'm sure the crowd was like, imagine being a parent and having a kid there. That kid had to be just restless. Like, can we go now? Is it over? So. I guess it was a good move, but I remember seeing a report early on with Mania that a lot of like wrestlers were upset with Triple H's decision to like have like less matches on the card. I feel like maybe that's why this showcase thing is going on, because before I seen that, that was before these showcase matches were announced. So maybe that was a way to like please those wrestlers who felt like a little like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, I think so too, because like, you know, WrestleMania, the paychecks are bigger. You know, people want to get on the card, and it seems like those matches are just to get people on WrestleMania.
But when you say those paychecks are bigger, you're referring to like, I said that the wrestlers get paid for the event Mania.
Yes.
So I'm thinking they get paid like just like an annual salary.
So wrestlers get WrestleMania bonuses.
Oh.
So in years past, like there have been like battle royales for WrestleMania, like just so like wrestlers can get on the card and get checks. So it's like a big deal to be on Mania. That's their biggest payday.
Mm. Oh, okay. That I didn't know. Now I can see why they were upset. Those wrestlers felt slighted that they weren't on them getting a chance to compete on their greatest days at the mall. Okay, I ain't mad at them now. Yeah, so I feel like Triple H made those showcase matches to appease those who felt like a little slighted and everything. But, I mean, overall, I think this Mania can go down in the book as one of the better Manias of all time. It has all the makings of it. Great, like, individual and, you know, multi-competitive matches. Great storyline so far. Just the build-up, I felt, overall was pretty lackluster, at least a year's past to a Mania. Yeah. I think it'll be a great event overall.
Yeah, like you said, they waited too late to sort of pull the trigger on a lot of the angles, but I think right now, Mania is shaping up to be a pretty great show.
Facts. Facts. Can't wait, man. Where you gonna watch it at? The crib.
Hey. I'm gonna have one friend over night one, and then one of my colleagues over night two. So.
Yeah, man. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. This is what we live for. This absolutely. Season right here, Mania.
I've been excited this whole week. Like, a couple of my coworkers are into wrestling too. So like, we've just been talking about Mania, and like, at my school we have like a prediction pool for WrestleMania, like who's gonna win the matches. So it's like the winner gets the. It's like everyone puts in $5. I think it's like 20 people playing. You just predict who you think's gonna win in the card. So I'm pretty excited.
That's lit, man. All right, well, we can end it right here. I appreciate you, man, coming on this part and talking wrestling with me. And we gotta do this soon. We gotta probably do a recap of Mania if you possibly can, like, or like we can give our thoughts on Mania, or right after Raw or whatever. Because I heard Triple H has a lot of things in store after Mania, like the Raw following. Yeah, Monday night, you have a lot of things in store.
Yeah, that's gonna be dope too. Yeah, well, maybe a lot of debuts at the Raw after WrestleMania. So.
Back. Well, all right, man. So I will chop it up at you later and enjoy Mania.
All right, man. You too. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, peace.
And that is it for this episode. Another one in the books. Salute to the homie Verley for holding me down as always. Thank you to Spotify. And thank you guys for checking out this episode. And if you enjoyed this one, feel free to look back at other ones if you haven't heard this podcast before, and make sure you hit that subscribe button, as this is available just about everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast at. Feel free to keep up with me on social media, Instagram and Twitter at MrVincent13. You can also like my Facebook fan page as well, Emmanuel Vincent. So that's all the time I have for now. Until then, enjoy WrestleMania. Have fun this weekend. Live it up. But whatever you do, please be safe. Till next time.